This is April 3rd, and it's been a long and difficult week for most of us here, and so I'm, even without the quorum, I think we can start hearing the first bill so that by the time we have to make a motion, we will have a quorum. They say they're on the way up to, or down, whichever direction they're coming from. I'm going to adjust the agenda a little bit to respect the folks who live far away so that they can get on their way home. I'm going to ask Senator Foley to please be first and come to the table, and then Senator Senjum. And so, Senator Foley, are you here? Did she come in? Welcome, Senator Foley.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Delighted to be here, especially on this occasion where it's late in the week and we're looking forward to, I hope, something on the weekend. I'm here today with the Senate File 1492, and this is not Columbus, but we'll use that. What this does is appropriate some money to the South Central Service Cooperative for a grant of 10 school districts and South Central Services Co-op for a water ecology, a pilot program for the surface water and groundwater protection and restoration. Bruce Baumier, who is the chairman of the Institute of Environmental Assessment, as well as the chairman of the Board of Environmental Resources Council of Anoka, is here to explain this legislation, and I will refer to him at this time.
Welcome, Mr. Is it Baumier or Baumier?
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Yeah, it's French. Not many people get that right. Thank you.
And French too.
Probably shouldn't say I'm French in this setting, but I'll be brief. I timed this out to about 4 minutes, so I hope I get
Sounds
it right
great.
Here and then respond to questions. I served on the Environmental Quality Board for 15 years and co-chaired it.
Would you pull the mic closer?
I'm sorry. I'm formerly with vice chair of the Environmental Quality Board for the last couple governors, and was on it 15 years. I left 2 years ago. The 10 of the school districts asked me to represent them in this matter. Essentially, what we're asking for is support so that 10 districts from throughout Minnesota, different parts of Minnesota, Crookston, Duluth, and some of the metro area, Cambridge, Isanti, St. Francis, Anoka, Stillwater, Lakeville, Montevideo, St. Peter, and Austin will build essentially a model environmental ecology program and then begin sharing what they learned with these pilot programs with the rest of the district in the state, working through the School Board Association, MASBO with the business officials, and MASMAS with the building administrators. The gist of it is we want to try to make the districts ecologically sound regarding water in three areas. Some of them relate to the freshwater. I'm on the freshwater board, too, Jean Merriam's work, which I know you're familiar with. And a lot of this, in a way, is responding to some of the Jean's guardianship council. The first is to have a responsive, water-sensitive K-12 curriculum model that all the districts in the school, all the districts in the state would be exposed to. We pilot it, test it, vet it, and try to essentially build a generation that's more responsive to water and water issues. If I can digress just briefly, in another life, I'm the board chair of IEA, which handles a lot of environmental engineering for the Mayo Clinic and New Ulm, Senator Ferguson's area, and pilot environmental engineering. We really have a hard time finding the right people to hire, and I do view this as part of the green jobs fundamental effort in training about ecosystems at a K-12 level. The second area is to take the facilities and begin trying model programs which would be responsible husbandry in terms of ecosystems, hopefully save money, but begin to amend the facilities in ways that are ecologically sensitive and demonstrate responsible use of water. I mean, Coon Rapids High School, for instance, has got 15 acres of impermeable water. You get rain, you wash off the fertilizer and the pesticide and the chlorine from salt into surface water. And as per Gene's report or the freshwater report, there's no reason that can't be captured and converted into some sort of retention system rain garden or holding system. So the issue is to try that with these 10 districts and then to broadcast out how this is working to the rest of the districts of the state. The third issue is a public health issue. I'll be very brief with this. I am by training a medical epidemiologist, so it's kind of my area, but it's really important. Back in the 70s, when we tried to tighten up the school to save fuel, we wound up tightening these buildings up. It was terrible public health. You wound up with higher instances of upper respiratory infection. You wound up with these sort of sealed buildings where people had asthmatic reactions, and the buildings smelled bad by 10 o'clock in the morning. So when we implement these engineering controls, we want to make sure nobody gets hurt. I took kind of an oath about not hurting people when you make changes. If we put in low-flow shower heads in New Ulm, for instance, that's fine. We'll save a bunch of money right away, but we want to make sure MRSA, we don't get MRSA infections among the kids as we did in eastern, actually, St. Peter area last year. Okay, so the issue is to make sure nobody gets hurt in the process. Those three areas that we're trying to model through this program, it's coordinated through the South Central Service Cooperative. If we do this right, every district in the state is positively impacted by what we're trying to construct. I had three questions in the House. I'll respond to them quickly. From day one, every district in the state can opt into this via video conferencing. That's why we're working out of the South Central. They have video connections. As I said, New Ulm and Scott Hogan is already linked into that process, and we have 60 districts that have asked to fit into it, although we'll pilot in the 10. So we'll have a big footprint. The second question I had was the issue of the public health portion of this. If you're going to make environmental changes, you can make a mistake and you hurt somebody. And so we want that public health part vetted. And I guess the last part is, we're kind of busting silos here. It's based on the facility and the school. If we build a rain garden to eliminate the wash and the service water, we want the kids to learn from it. We want the educational guys to fit into the people that are running the facilities to learn how the ecosystem structure and how we're moving. So the idea is that the schools build an eco-water system that is comprehensive. I think I am still under 4 minutes, but that's it. So thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Beaumier. Are there questions from the committee?
Chairman,
Senator
Mr. Beaumier,
Vickerman.
I didn't.
Oh, I'm sorry, Fredrickson. I'm sorry.
We rural folks all look alike after a while. I didn't understand the part about the low flow shower heads in the school.
Right. There's all kinds of environmental techniques that people are coming up with, and part of this is to vet the ones that make sense and don't. One of the ways you can save water immediately is if in your area Scott Hogan went in and put in low-flow shower heads. We would be saving a lot of potable water not being, being used. The problem with that is when we do that, we want to make sure the walls are combed in the showers. We want to make sure the showers are washed with a percentage of bleach. We don't want enhanced infection. We want to make sure the hygiene is done correctly. I have to say, if I can, I've been at this for a lot of years. New Ulm has built some of the most responsive environmental buildings in the state with limited resources, and it's in some ways a model for how the rest of us need to move.
Thank you.
Senator Torres Ray.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I would like to ask the witness, how do we measure in your bill in line 118, you ask for over $600,000 to create environmentally and ecologically sensitive water control systems and reduce costs associated with water disposal and energy. Could you tell us a little bit more, a little bit about how do you measure that? How do you actually come up with that number and plan to measure the outcome related to that particular investment?
Yeah, Madam Chair, Senator, I'll give you three examples, but some of this we're going to have to learn because this is new. And anyone that says they know how this is going to work exactly isn't being honest. Let me give you three examples. Each of the schools in Minnesota pays sewer charges and they, because of after the war, we built schools huge and flat with big parking lots. They're heavy. They're significant. It's thousands and thousands of dollars a year. So if we can use a way to capture the water, fold it into a holding pond or rain garden, we immediately will observe an annual reduction in costs. You'll see that right away. Now, then we have to look at the cost of preserving the rain garden. We want security lighting, stuff like that. So if we do our job, we will be able to present a measurement of what that meant financially or didn't mean. And the second example is the use of solar for hot water. Johnson Controls has a package that they're marketing now, and it may work, I don't know, where they use solar and pressurization so that the hot water based on the roofing system will reduce the cost of heating the water. Now, they're saying you get that paid back in 5 years. We need to really study that and see if it works. But there would be theoretically another financial savings, but we need to make sure it operates. Third area that would be saving a lot would be if we could design a real careful reintegration of gray water into the water system, meaning gray water could be used for some of the toilets. It could be used for some of the husbandry of the lawn and the fields and that sort of thing. On the other hand, we could have dual costs for plumbing, so maybe it wouldn't save. We don't know. But if we do our job, when this biennium, after 2 years, we'll be able to notch what saved money and what didn't, as well as looking at ecosystem impacts. And that's a huge – your question is on target. It's a huge part of what we're trying to do. Understand what the costs really mean and don't mean, and where we'll be saving money as well as enhancing environment.
Thank you.
Are there other questions? I have a couple of questions. We've got on item number one an allocation for green jobs staff, and then item number on line 2.3, some more money for districts for green jobs staff. Tell me how many jobs this is going to create, and who are these people?
Right. That actually was asked in the House, too. Okay. The one that just plain is important is you're going to teach a bunch of young people to look at ecosystems differently. That's hopefully it'll be helpful. And in terms of the jobs, in some cases, there will be people that have other jobs in the district that might lose their job that would be identified to be reintegrated and to work on these environmental efforts. There's three, you're talking about three people on the educational side. I forget the FTE exactly for on the education side, and I think it's a little bit more than that for the facility upgrades. The districts will kind of have to decide within their own FTE complement based on the money they have, what their plan is. So I don't know exactly the number of people, but anyway, the question in the House was, is this going to simply be subsidizing people that otherwise lose their jobs? And the answer is that they won't be replicating the services they were doing before. We're not going to pay for something already going on as per the law, but we may use some of the educators and some of the folks in a different format. I can't give you an exact number. The districts have to puzzle out how they mix and match in terms of FTEs, and they all may do it differently. Montevideo is going to work through its region out of Marshall, whereas Duluth is actually going to, they actually have individuals that they'd like to redirect toward this effort.
And Mr. Beaumier, what will you bring back to us to show that something's been accomplished?
Well, if we're any good, we do it, and we'll do it right. In 2 years, we will have a very pragmatic list of engineering controls for buildings I envision a table that's carefully footnoted that describes costs or cost savings and gives the best estimates we can regarding impact on the ecosystem. And so during the project, a lot of districts will be fitting into this, but 2 years from now, if a district decides they want to build a rain garden to capture the runoff from the roof, we will be able to talk about what the costs involve, potential problems, different engineering controls that can be implemented. So what you get is you get a list of pragmatic behaviors regarding cost and regarding eco-impact for how you govern a school. Regarding the educational side of it, I'm a little out of my pay grade here. I'm not an educator, but the districts will identify a system to measure the educational impact, and I can't speak to how that's done. But part of the agreement we all have is that we're going to team up and look at what seems to impact. I can, from being at the meeting, just say this. What they're talking about is not having a K through 12 curriculum, but having exercises that blend into existing curriculum that include talking about water and water husbandry, and always integrating the way the building is being enhanced with educational experience.
We have a lot of money in this bill, so I'm scrutinizing it carefully. We have $3.4 million for grants to the school districts in the ecology program, and again, there's over $500,000 going to the South Central Service Cooperative for administration and co-consulting. Does this, whatever we finally are able to allocate, does this go as a lump sum to South Central Service Co-op and get distributed from there, or does it go directly to the school districts as you've outlined here? Who's managing the dollars?
The way this would work, and it is a lot of money. I mean, it is. And if you break, I got the budget here, I can respond to individual issues. A lot of it is you're trying to physically change a school building. I mean, you're physically altering things. That's a lot of the money. The way it works is the South Central Service Center is a chartered unit of government. It was incorporated in 1976. They coordinate a lot of services for, I think they do 300 districts insurance programs and stuff like that. So they're the fiscal agent, and they're the ones that the districts felt ought to be the fiscal agent. There is a lot of autonomy within the districts, although part of that money that the cooperative gets would be, for instance, to bring on one single civil engineer group to look at rain gardens. So in other words, that would be coming out of the budget for the cooperative, but it would be one group then that would be attached to the different districts to look at the way the they would handle water capture and reintegration. Same thing with plumbing. I don't think there'll be really anybody hired. I'm not sure, but there wouldn't be certainly many people hired for the cooperative. There'd be people contracted with to branch out information to the districts. And I guess the one thing I'd just like to say is if we do this right, it isn't just the 10 districts. I mean, the whole state opts into this. And part of that is South Central has the major telecommunication network in the state. They're the ones, that's out of Mankato, is where they do the broadcasting for the training for extension services and for the school districts. That's part of the reason we picked them.
Well, I think you've got a very intriguing project. I'm an educator myself, and I'm very supportive of education and eco-education. The constitutional amendment requires that we restore, protect, and enhance our lakes, rivers, and streams, that we protect groundwater, and that we take care of, at least in part, drinking water. So as all of you bring your bills forward, you need to make real clear to us how you fit the constitutional amendment, and we've got some explanation from this first bill about what they are planning to do and the impact they are going to have. We have a surprisingly small amount of money to deal with. We're going to do just a one-year budget and use the summer to clarify some of the criteria and standards we'll be using as we manage the Clean Water Fund. And so we're not going to be able to fund everybody, and neither will we be able to fund people at the levels that they're asking for necessarily. We'll be having to set up some priorities. So I hope you understand that one thing, this all comes out in the wash, there is next year. We might not be able to get everything done this year, and how we set those priorities, the committee will be working on that in about a week or so. Clearly, this is a project that is brand new and sorely needed and will have long-term benefits to the state. there are also a lot of other ones. So, Senator Foley, what I'd invite you to do is lay your bill on the table for possible. Oh, I'm sorry. Senator Foley, did you make a motion on your bill?
I'm not a member of the
Senator Fredrickson.
Well, Madam Chair, I'd like to make a comment and a suggestion. My suggestion would be that you double track this program and maybe look into applying with the Public Facilities Authority for the new, what we're calling, stimulus money, because 20% of that money is to be spent on green infrastructure for new and innovative ideas. And this might very well fit well into that category.
That's an excellent suggestion, Senator Fredrickson.
Yeah, Madam Chair, Senator Fredrickson, thanks a lot. We're trying. We've asked a couple different foundations to contribute to this, and I wasn't aware of the Public Facilities Authority. We can do that as well. Madam Chair, we get it. I'm a business guy, but I'm speaking on behalf of the 10 districts. We understand it. We know this has been a terrible session for everybody. We get it. We know it. And whatever you can do to support this effort would be appreciated. We'll honor the spirit and the covenants of the amendment. So if you can help us put this in motion, we'll truly change some stuff.
Madam Chair,
I believe you will. Senator Fredrickson.
I'd move that Senate File 1492 be considered for inclusion in our bill and laid on the table.
Thank you. Senator Fredrickson has moved that Senate File, I've lost the number already, 1492 be laid on the table for possible consideration. Any more discussion?
Madam Chair, can I make one comment on behalf
Absolutely.
Of the districts? We all want to, we have a lot of history with Senator Foley back when he was with the State Patrol. I'm very old. I remember back in a whole other kind of crisis time in the 70s, and we figured out how to make this move. We wanted to look to Leo to kind of help us with this, and I guess we just want to acknowledge among his peers how much we appreciate his contributions over many, many years.
And I think the rest of us feel the same way.
Madam Chair, we just hope that your association with Trooper Foley wasn't at the side of the highway.
A motion has been made. There's been no discussion, so those in favor of the motion signal by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. The motion passes.
Thank you, Madam Chair and committee. Appreciate that.
Senator Senjan, please. Keeping these bills straight. Senator Senjan has Senate File 1801. Welcome, Ms. Senator Senjan.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, I'm sorry. It's Friday.
It's all right.
Been before too many committees.
It's been a long week, Senator Senjan.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. It's a privilege to be here today and to speak on behalf of Senate File 1801. Senate File 1801, I think I'll just maybe shorten it up and reference this document you have with respect to Lake Zumbro. Lake Zumbro is a 8-mile lake north of Rochester. It was formed actually in 1919 when the Mayo has decided that if you're going to practice medicine in Rochester, you need electricity. And so they, working with the city fathers at that time, caused there to be a what we call the power dam. And within that power dam, there's two turbines, each generating about a megawatt and a half. And they continue to work to this day. And actually, with the improvement of Lake Zumbro from the standpoint of restoring it, meaning in large part dredging it eventually, we could even put another turbine in there. And that certainly has been a point of discussion more recently as the Lake Zumbro project has evolved. Madam Chair and members, some of you, Senator Fredrickson being on the bonding committee, may be aware that last year in the bonding bill, $175,000 was put forward in the bonding bill to begin the study, the design, the engineering associated with Lake Zumbro. That has not quite been enough, and so the opportunity at least for this new funding came forward, and I thought at least that I would attempt to bring this idea forward to this committee. And the language of the bill talks about, and you have it And Madam Chair, what I need to do is offer an oral amendment to bring the bill into a slightly different form than what you have. And I think that that oral amendment has been handed out to you. Let's see, where's my... Do you have that on white paper?
We don't have it.
Madam Chair, I had it at my desk. I'm not sure where it came from. It's in the back of the packet.
Madam Chair, it's not like A1. It's something. We suggested we just do this orally, but to facilitate the oral process, I had it typed up.
This is it here.
Senator Torres-Ray, do you want to move this amendment?
Yes, please.
Okay.
Madam Chair.
Senator Torres-Ray moves... we'll call it the A1 amendment. Okay. Any discussion? All those in favor signal by saying aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. The amendment passes.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And so this amendment calls for a request, $500,000 be allocated to what we call a Lake Zumbro Joint Powers Board for engineering acquisition of land and site preparation for the restoration of Lake Zumbro. It's to prepare that project eventually for another bonding request, which would actually get into dredging the lake. And if you look at the small booklet on the back, you will see an outline of the lake. And if you study it with some care, and I don't expect you to at this point, but you'll note that a large portion of this lake over the years has silted in. And so, frankly, portions that I knew back in the 70s were deep and good and provided a lot of recreation. Now you can nearly not get a bone into. If I haven't said it, Madam Chair, this is about the only lake in southern Minnesota, in our southeast Minnesota area, aside from the Mississippi River, that you can enjoy any kind of recreational boating on. And so it is heavily used, and so as we've endeavored through the bonding committee and now today through this committee if you will, recover, restore this lake and make it ready for the long-term use of citizens that will follow us in this life and into the long-term future. There are, concurrent with all this, of course, heavy efforts through the Zumbro Valley Watershed District to prevent this sort of siltation from ever happening again. So if we can get this cleaned up, I think there's good reason to think we can keep it cleaned up, and again, it will be a wonderful amenity for years to come. Madam Chair, I have Mr. Dean Albertson, part of the Lake Zumbro Forever Project, here with me, as well as a couple of other individuals that may wish to offer comments along the lines of this project.
And we are going to try to keep things relatively brief, because there are a lot of people who have to get to other places that have we bumped them so that we could hear people. So please keep your comments brief, but enough so that we understand what you're trying to do.
A couple of years ago, we came to the Capitol, and we all wore these caps, Lake Zumbro caps. I don't know if you ever saw those around the Capitol, but Madam Chair, that was our first start at this, and we have a couple members I want to introduce that are important to us, Ron Fuller and Ray Roman. They're both members of the committee, and we have a committee of 12 who have worked for about 4 years on this project. And what we have is a lake that is in disrepair, and it needs to be restored. And that's our goal, simple, straightforward goal. And we have the support of the community. We have the support of the lake owners. And Rochester Public Utilities, which gains electricity off the lake, is very much in favor of this project. And they have stated that they will increase their electrical power source if the lake is dredged. One of the issues that's really important for you to understand and for other people to understand is that there's 1 million cubic yards of sediment in the lake that wasn't there in 1919. In the 1950s, the erosion came big time because of the lack of farming practices that would prevent erosion. We gained the biggest quantity of that 1 million cubic yards back in the 50s, and it has been increasing, but at a slower rate. How much is 1 million cubic yards? It's 100,000 truckloads at 10 yards a truck. That's what it is. our intention in this project is to use the money that we received, and we're just starting to use the money literally this week. The $175,000 that the bonding committee authorized us to use, we're going to start using it. The joint powers agreement between Wabasha and Olmsted County is finished, and we're going to meet and then start moving on it. So the preliminary engineering is beginning, and this week is the beginning of it. Our issue is that when Dave called me and he said, I think we should put some money in for this project at this time, is that he felt that we have a big hurdle called where do you put the sediment? And that's our biggest issue. We need sites around the lakes, around the lake, and we need a way to get it there. We need to have it prepared and figured out as to what we do. We need to acquire land. We need to do many things. So this piece that you have in front of you is this is an engineerial document. I mean, it's about 7 pages, and engineers developed this. None of us are engineers here today, but the engineers are saying this is what we need to do. And literally, we are going to work on the last 2 phases with this money, phase 2 and 3, at the end of this. And so the first part that we're working on today is money that's used for preliminary engineering planning and design. And then we'll move into the other issue of what do we do with the 1 million cubic yards of sediment? Which farmer would like to have their land grow by about 10 feet? And what kind of gullies can we fill in that make it workable? That's what we're facing, and that's the kind of issues we have to deal with. We are optimistic that this can happen. We are preparing a plan to prepare and give to the legislature on around June 15th to request money for bonding. And we will provide matching funds out there to do this, and that's our intention. And so we will come back to the legislature at that point and say, here's our plan. And by January 1st of 2010, we really want to get rolling and get something passed in the bonding area. We have the support, we feel, of the legislators that we have in that bonding committee, and they see the need. And for us to get that money last year was really important because it showed us the state thinks this is a good project and we need to go on with it. And so that's where we're headed right now. The lake is, of course, impaired.
We have to move on.
And we know that we have issues with the water, just not with the sediment per se. And therefore, we need additional help to get this done, and this money could do it. And I asked Dave Sendrum about the money, and he said, could you get by with less? And I said, yes, of course we can. But I'd like to see some support in this area at this time so we can move on. We are going to do this project one way or the other. We want to do it right. Any questions or?
Thank you, Mr. Albertson. Senator Fredrickson.
Madam Chair, Mr. Albertson, how many cubic yards are you planning to remove from the lake?
It will depend on the money, Madam Chair and Senator. It depends on the money. If we get the total funding, which we are aiming for, of about $10 million total, then we would remove the 1 million cubic yards. If we get $5 million, we're going to take less out. Whatever we get is what we're going to take out. But we aim for that first figure of 1 million cubic yards.
Thank you.
And my question, Senator Anderson, go ahead.
Oh, well, Madam Chair, I just wanted to ask how the dredging will improve the water quality of the lake.
I think I'll do better with 2 guys behind me, possibly, although we are aiming. Go ahead. Either one of you want to answer that question?
The lake officially is just
come
up here.
Come on up.
Sir, please. You need to come to the table and give us your name, please.
Yes, I'm Ray Roman, a member of the Lake Sumbrel Improvement and Forever Committee. The lake is officially listed as impaired from a total maximum daily load perspective. That basically one of the components of GMDL is sediment, and by removing the sediment from the lake, that will keep it from moving about the lake and reduce the GMDL loading situation and improve the impaired situation that we have with that component now.
Madam Chair, Anderson. Is it impaired for anything besides sediment?
Yes, it is. It also has restrictions on it about the number of fish that you can eat in a month, and that's due to impairment with mercury.
And I have a follow-up question. Once the lake is dredged, how are you going to keep it clean?
Well, that's one of our big concerns. Oh, Madam Chair, I'm sorry. Madam Chair, we're very concerned about that, too. And that's why we've formed Lake Zumbro Forever, an organization, a nonprofit tax-exempt group that will provide the support to make sure this stays in good shape. We also work with the Zumbro Watershed Partnership very closely, which is a huge watershed in our area, to reduce runoff, and we've been successful at doing that. Ron Fuller, one of our members here today, is on that committee and works very closely with the Zumbro Watershed Partnership. So we want to reduce the runoff, but we also recognize that some will happen, and we are planning to have money and a group available to deal with that after we clean it up. We just need to get the thing cleaned up before we can get going.
Well, I thank you for your testimony, and Senator Torres Ray.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This is my question is, or perhaps my suggestion, I don't know if it is a question, as related to this project and others. As we ask questions about this particular project, it just occurs to me that I think it will be very important for this committee to have that information with us as we make the decisions for prioritizing, because I would hate to make a decision, for instance, of funding a project that could get done, and then if we don't give all the funding that they need in order just really to finish their project, then we're not doing enough. Or that if we, you know, depending on what project comes before this committee, I think we need to give a priority to those projects that are ready to go, those projects that can really identify, what are they planning to do to restore clean water. I think that's what we need to do here. And that needs to, because the legislation doesn't have any specific language on that, so without that information, it would be very difficult for us to make that decision, I think.
Thank you, Senator Torres. I think that was part of our discussion in your committee and also in the Heritage Committee this morning, that part of the hard work we have ahead of us is to clarify and set forward priorities and a way of sorting. So for now, what we are doing, at least in this committee, is mm-hmm. hearing all the projects, and we will have some of that discussion in the next few, really, week or so. But we will do a whole lot more during the summer and interim to really clarify what these clean water funds are for.
Okay.
So, Senator Torres Ray, would you make? Is there any? I'm looking for a motion, but is there any further discussion?
I'll move the bill, Madam Chair.
Senator Torres Ray moves Senate File 1801 to be laid on the table for further consideration.
As amended.
Any further discussion? Those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Motion passes. Thank you. It's Mr. Albertson and
yes.
Roman? Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
And Senator Senjum, you have something else to bring before us. This is Senate File 1802, and it looks like we have an amendment for that.
Madam Chair and members, yes, I have a written oral amendment for this as well. Bring it into order.
Do we all have the oral amendment before us?
I'll move the amendment, Mr. Chair.
Senator Fredrickson moves, I'm going to call up the A1 amendment again.
Sure.
For Senate File 1802. The amendment reads, $100,000 is appropriated from the Clean Water Fund to the Commissioner of Natural Resources for grants to the City of Orinoco for environmental and engineering studies for the restoration of Shady Lake.
Okay.
Thank you. We've got the amendment. Any discussion of the amendment? Those in favor of the amendment, please say aye.
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 Opposed? The amendment is accepted.
Madam Chair and members, this is a somewhat similar project in view of the fact that it is a restoration of a lake kind of project. This lake is much smaller. It is geographically, I'm just going to say, maybe 5 miles upstream from the lake we just talked about. It is a lake, if any of you recall, driving to Rochester, just about 10 miles north of Rochester, you'll see this body of water. It looks beautiful. It is beautiful. That body of water is maybe 6 inches deep or very shallow. And, again, it's a restoration project from the standpoint of recovering this lake. This lake is probably at a moment in time where a decision will have to be made as to whether or not you save that lake or whether you don't. And the community of Orinoco, in which this lake is located, has more recently, the last couple of months, endeavored and have been successful in putting forth a task force, a very active group themselves, who are intent on saving this lake. What the legislation calls for is $100,000 of grant money to assist in environmental and engineering studies for the eventual restoration of the lake. So I'll just stop there and trying to be brief. And Madam Chair and members, I have the mayor of Orinoco here, Scott Kegley, who may have some comments as well.
Mayor Kegley, welcome.
Madam Chair, thank you. This is my first trip to the Capitol here, so.
it's really not so daunting.
Lake Shady is, like Dave said, impaired. We would like the funds for this to do some research, as well as we have a flashboard issue with the dam. Flashboards are put in place in the summer so that it raises the level of water on the lake. This fall, we ran into an issue where wells around town were going dry because there were no flashboards, and we had to lower the lake for a LIDAR flight, but the wells were starting to go dry, which was a lot of concern for me. We are the largest city in Minnesota without municipal services. We are a town of about 1,000. Lake Shady has served for some time somewhat of a catch basin for Lake Zumbro to catch some of the sediment. And it's full. So I'll just keep it brief. We're just looking for a small amount just to help us with engineering fees. I really appreciate your time today.
Thank you, Mayor Kegley. There are questions. Senator Fredrickson.
Madam Chair, Mayor, would you state again the relationship between the wells going dry and the lake?
Madam Chair, Senator Fredrickson, when the lake was lowered this fall, when it was left that way for 2-3 weeks, there are several sandpoint wells around town, and they were starting to go dry where they were sucking air. So it was imperative that we get the lake back up so that they start getting some water back into their wells.
And Madam Chair, Mayor, and
Senator,
did you
Fredrickson.
Say that the city does not have a municipal water system?
Madam Chair, Senator Fredrickson, that is correct. We do not have a municipal water system. Now, we are working on that right now, but it is still 2 years away. We have asked for some PFA grant money, and we do have a plan in place to take care of roughly half of our city.
And Madam Chair, Mayor,
Senator Fredrickson.
In an earlier bill, did you hear my suggestion that they call PFA?
Correct.
I would suggest that you do that because we're going to receive $107 million of stimulus money, and 20% of that is for clean drinking water. And, Madam Chair, I'm not sure how strong a relationship we can make between this lake and the wells.
Well, certainly access to drinking water, which it sounds like is perilous.
And that, Madam Chair, and that is one of the detailed uses for the constitutional amendment monies. I don't know how all this fits together, but
Senator Anderson.
Madam Chair, just to follow up a little bit. First of all, will you tell me what a flashboard is? And I don't actually know what a sandpoint well is, although I've heard that term. What does that mean?
Madam Chair, Senator Anderson, a flashboard is this dam was built in 1936. A flashboard goes over the spillway of the dam, basically stacked wood that can be removed, which will allow the lake to raise that extra 18 inches, roughly, is what ours is raised. It makes it so that you can get around with canoes, kayaks. We're not looking for motorized boats or anything. Up till last year, this was done by the county, but the county decided to remove them because it was a safety issue for workers going out there to install and remove these, where we believe that there is something that can be done safe that doesn't endanger workers. The shallow wells, Sandpoint wells are a very shallow well when you can't go deep enough where you're located.
Okay. And Madam Chair.
Senator Anderson.
So is this an artificially created lake? I mean, it's a dammed lake created by a dam.
Madam Chair, Senator
Mayor.
Anderson. This is where two forks of the Zumbro River come together. So it is a man-made lake. It was mainly enjoyed in the 30s, 40s by the Mayo families and a lot of the wealthier families in Rochester.
So, Madam Chair and
Senator
Mayor,
Anderson.
Yeah, I'm confused if there's, I mean, have you had a hydrologist make the connection between the lake levels and the wells? I guess that's one question. And also talk a little bit about where, how the lake has filled in. Do you know why it's filled in and if what your plan is to prevent it in the future?
Mayor. Madam Chair, Senator Anderson. The plan for the future, we're hoping to get that from engineering. Our Lake Shady group, who also submitted a letter, we're all volunteers, basically. We're trying for the best for our community. It's full of sediment now, basically runoff materials. As far as the future goes for keeping that out, I don't see where that is right now. That's why we're asking for funding to do this research.
Madam Chair, Senator Anderson, I would offer, and I thought I maybe the last individual, we have this thing called the Zumbro Watershed District, and that board, and they're very, very active in terms of these kind of issues, and I feel some level of assurance that, in particular, if we can get these lakes fixed up, and perhaps not, frankly, even if they're not fixed up, if you will, that group is doing a lot in terms of erosion prevention and you know, mitigating practices with respect to preventing this kind of thing on into the future. So I'm relatively confident that you know, times have changed, sensitivities about these things have changed, and I'm confident that, if we can get these things fixed up, or even if we don't, we're going to protect that water.
Are there any additional questions?
Madam Chair, I'd move that Senate File 1802 as amended be considered for possible inclusion in our bill and laid on the table.
Thank you. Senator Fredrickson has moved Senate File 1802 to be laid on the table for possible inclusion in the water bill. Further discussion? Those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Madam Chair and members, I want to thank you for hearing this bill today. Appreciate it.
I'd like to thank you also.
Thank you, Senator Senjum. Have a great weekend. Get some rest. Senator Sieben, thank you for your patience. Senator Sieben has a child care issue waiting at home.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I will try to be brief.
Senator Sieben has brought Senate File 1918 before us.
Thank you, Madam Chair and committee members. A little bit of historical background here first. In 1968, President LBJ, President Johnson, signed the Wild and Scenic Rivers Act into law, designating the St. Croix River among the first eight rivers in the country to be protected under the act. Former Vice President Mondale has said that the passage of this act was among one of his proudest moments in public political life. The river is a jewel. More than 1 million people visit it a year. It runs 165 miles from Solon Springs, Wisconsin, to the confluence of the Mississippi River. Children swim at beaches along the wide lower river known as Lake St. Croix. And I might just add that this is where I spent many summer days growing up and learning how to water ski. So, like I said, Lake St. Croix is the lower portion of the St. Croix River from Stillwater to Prescott along the Minnesota-Wisconsin border. The St. Croix River, partially because of its designation as a wild and scenic river, has long been known for its clean water, but unfortunately that is changing. In 2008, Lake St. Croix was designated as impaired under the Federal Clean Water Act due to excess phosphorus. As required by the Clean Water Act, a TMDL will be prepared to identify strategies for reducing phosphorus loadings. As of now or in March, the TMDL stakeholder involvement process is being developed. Comprehensive water monitoring is an essential part of the TMDL process. Consistent, high-quality data is needed to evaluate current phosphorus concentrations and measure progress as reduction measures are implemented. A monitoring plan has been established but has been implemented only on a sporadic and piecemeal basis due to a lack of funding. So this funding is needed to fully implement that monitoring plan, address the impairment issues for Lake St. Croix, and identify problem tributaries in the entire basin. The funding that we request would provide monitoring, analysis, data compilation and interpretation, and reporting to the public. The results of the program will be instrumental in developing TMDL implementation plan and measuring results of that program. So just a little bit of background about the project partners. The St. Croix Basin Water Resources Planning Team was formed as a cooperative effort in 1993 between Minnesota and Wisconsin Water Resources Agencies and the National Park Service. The Basin Team identified nutrient loading to Lake St. Croix as the top issue facing the river, which led to the signing of the Interstate Nutrient Reduction Agreement in 2006 and listing of Lake St. Croix as impaired waters in 2008. The MPCA is a lead government agency involved in the Basin Team and would administer funds for this program. And the St. Croix River Association is a nonprofit organization with a mission to protect, restore, and celebrate the St. Croix River and its watershed. The River Association will provide leadership in on-the-ground implementation of phosphorus reduction activities, including needed public outreach and education. And with me today is Dan McGinnis, who is the executive director of the St. Croix River Association.
Welcome, Mr. McGinnis.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Senator Sieben, for introducing the bill. I'd like to make three brief comments. One is a little bit about who the St. Croix River Association is. Secondly, to augment Senator Sieben's comments about the water quality situation in Lake St. Croix, and then finally, what we want to do about it. Well, the St. Croix River Association, I like to call it the oldest new organization in the region. It was actually formed in 1911 by property owners along the St. Croix, and at one time was called the St. Croix River Improvement Association. And what they meant then by improvement was to create a navigation channel from Lake Superior to Prescott, Wisconsin, using the Brule and the St. Croix Rivers. Well, obviously, our interpretation or our definition of the word improvement has changed over time. Today, the St. Croix River Association is still a membership organization of about 300 members on both sides of the river. And even though we were formed in 1911, we just became an official 501c3 last year and are hiring staff and ramping up our program significantly. And we have an important role to play in this program of cleaning up water quality in Lake St. Croix, which, interestingly enough, 40 years ago when the scenic river designation occurred, the St. Croix was considered a pretty clean river relative to the other rivers in the region. Well, in the time since then, as we have cleaned up other rivers, thanks in part to the funding from the state of Minnesota and the separation of the storm and sanitary sewers in the Twin Cities metro area, improvement in our treatment plants, we have watched improvements occur in some of our region's rivers, such as the Mississippi. But the St. Croix River's water quality has actually declined, and now we have a problem with phosphorus in the St. Croix. And the St. Croix, the lower St. Croix, it really is a catch basin for everything that happens above it. And so we have to deal with this problem at the watershed scale. There's a secondary benefit to improving water quality in the St. Croix, especially this issue of phosphorus, and that is we will directly also do our share to improve the water quality in Lake Pepin on the Mississippi River, because one of the goals of the state is to reduce phosphorus in Lake Pepin. And a 20% reduction or 100 million tons per year of phosphorus removal in Lake St. Croix will also help the Mississippi River and Lake Pepin. But of course, it will help the real jewel of our East Metro area, the Twin Lake St. Croix, improve water quality for people who recreate, for the birds, fish, and wildlife who use the river, for the communities along the river, and for our nation because it's a national wild and scenic river. What we intend to do with these funds are to actually, I'm here today to say we don't want to start something, we want to finish something. And so we're not here saying, could you help us start something, and we don't know what's going to happen. We're actually here to help, ask your help to finish a program that began 10 years ago to determine how we could clean up Lake St. Croix. And the monitoring stations and then the work in sub-watersheds that we identify through our monitoring will help reduce phosphorus loading in Lake St. Croix, but it'll be doing it in a way that's really economically efficient because the monitoring will allow us to determine where we can get the most bang for our buck by focusing our work, our cleanup work, be it the farmlands or the urban areas. And we already know that the Sunrise River, a tributary that comes in above St. Croix Falls, Taylor's Falls on the St. Croix, is one of the areas that we'll have to target our work. But this monitoring program will help us really focus where we need to do the work and get the best results. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. McGinnis. Senator Fredrickson.
Madam Chair, Mr. McGinnis, is there a TMDL in place now for Lake St. Croix?
Yes, there is, Madam Chair Senator Fredrickson. Yes, there is a TMDL for phosphorus, and there's also a recognized problem with chlorophyll.
And Madam Chair, Mr. McGinnis.
Senator Fredrickson.
Is the source of the phosphorus, is it from point or non-point?
We think it's from all sources, but we think the primary problem is from non-point sources, and it's in part due to both agricultural and urban runoff because of the tributaries, especially the tributaries closest to the Twin Cities metro area, the Sunrise, the Snake, and a little further up the Kettle in Minnesota, are also some of the fastest growing urban areas in the state. And so we're seeing runoff from farmland, we're seeing runoff from stream bank erosion, and we're seeing runoff from urban areas.
Madam Chair,
Senator
Mr. McGinnis. All of the money you're requesting then will be for that monitoring effort? And would PCA be doing some of the work, or would they be contracting with the local association or with a group of associations?
Madam Chair, Senator Fredrickson, the funds will go through the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency to set up in the first year the monitoring program, in the second year to continue the monitoring, but also in both years we will be receiving matching support from the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources and the National Park Service because this is a team effort, as Senator Sieben said, and the watershed is a bi-state watershed. But so it'll be a joint effort. This will be Minnesota's contribution. And the St. Croix River Association's role in this will be to do the public education and some of the targeted local watershed improvement work in association with some of our watershed districts and our river organizations in the basin. This will all be done as a continuation of the team project that started 10 years ago.
And Senator Fredrickson.
Madam Chair, Mr. McGinnis, I'm looking at the part of the bill. I understand the monitoring better now. But a part of this is also phosphorus reduction, mm-hmm. and typically the Pollution Control Agency does not fund the whatever actions are necessary to remove the impairment. If it's non-point phosphorus, it would probably be coming through Board of Water and Soil Resources, Department of Ag, or maybe PFA would actually be implementing the corrective action to whatever your monitoring indicates would be necessary.
Madam Chair.
Mr. McGinnis.
And Senator Fredrickson, that's correct. This is for the bulk of this money is for the monitoring. There's about $75,000 a year that would be for the public education and working with landowners and working with other partners in the team so that we can identify sources of funding to address the on-the-ground work to do the improvements. This takes care of the the part of our work that helps us target where to partner with other organizations and agencies to do the on-the-ground work.
Did you have a question, Senator Anderson?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I think Senator Fredrickson's asked most of the questions I had as well. I guess the big picture question is, if we're looking at funding our statewide TMDL process, you have to give us a strong reason why you should be singled out and funded separately, because that's where, you know, a lot of dollars may be used to fund TMDL grants through Bowser, et cetera. And I would presume you would be eligible to apply for those. Have you tried? We haven't had enough funding in the past in those areas, but have you tried, have you sought some of that funding through existing clean water dollars?
Mr. McGinnis.
Yes, Madam Chair, Senator Anderson. The short answer to your question is yes. Because through this 10-year program and this multi-agency team, we've been going. In fact, we have a funding subcommittee, which is unusual for a basin organization. But we recognize that a bi-state basin with a lot of partners presents not only a collaboration challenge, but in another way, it presents a funding opportunity. There are several avenues of funding that we have actually not only sought but received funds from, including the National Park Service, the Wisconsin DNR, some of our local watershed organizations, to do this work. So we're coming to you to help us finish up the monitoring effort with the acknowledgement that this is a statewide issue. TMDLs throughout the rivers throughout our state, but our situation is one of where we also have to reach across state boundaries, and so this is an effort where we're trying to match funding and leverage funding from the National Park Service and from the state of Wisconsin to complete this, and so we need to bring something to the table to show that we've got something to specifically match their support with.
Mr. McGinnis, I am wondering, when you say there's matching funding from Wisconsin DNR and from the National Park Service, is it the $950,000, is it the same amount dollar for dollar? Do mm-hmm. we have any sense?
The National Park Service funding for this right now is targeted at $200,000. The state of Wisconsin at this point is an in-kind contribution only, but we're trying to seek funds through the state of Wisconsin. But I should also indicate that the great majority of the monitoring stations are either on the boundary or in the state of Minnesota. So we would expect that if we can get some support from the state of Wisconsin, it'll be a smaller amount.
Senator Anderson.
Madam Chair, I should say that the St. Croix is my favorite place to swim in the summer near the metropolitan area. It's a beautiful, beautiful river. And I just have to tell you a little story I heard the other day from John Curry. I don't know if you know John Curry. He lobbies around here, and he has a daughter the same age as my oldest son. And he said about 8 years ago they were tubing on the Sunrise River and camping at Wild River State Park. And in the middle of the night after tubing, they woke up, and she had an extremely high fever. They went to the hospital. She was unconscious before they got there. And she was a toddler at the time, and turned out she had gotten a very serious infection. And they learned later that the Sunrise River had a number of straight pipes into it right along the river where they were tubing, apparently. And it also turns out that I'm in the process of planning a canoe trip there this summer. And so two questions. One is, how far up does this section go that you're talking about? You said it goes all the way up to Sunrise and Snake River, and so all the way up to Wisconsin, to the Wisconsin line, or I'm not sure where you'd start, but has it improved at all? Are those straight pipes septic still, or straight pipes still into the river? And when you said it's impaired for chlorophyll, mm-hmm. is that what you're talking about?
That's the lower,
Mr. McGovern.
Yeah, Madam Chair, Senator Anderson. The chlorophyll is for the Lake St. Croix. But we're saying that the Sunrise River is one of the prime suspects for the at least we know for the phosphorus problem.
Okay.
on Lake St. Croix. And regarding the straight pipes, I suspect there are still some because the sunrise is not only a problem for TMDL for phosphorus, but there are 8 aquatic species that are being threatened by water quality problems on the sunrise, just in the sunrise itself. So we're all actually working with an organization called the Friends of the Sunrise, a local organization that's really trying to improve the health of the Sunrise River. And the River Association realizes that the only way we're going to really make significant improvements throughout this large basin is to align ourselves with good local active groups who are also doing work. So that's a partnership that we're working on.
And, Madam Chair, so when you say Lake St. Croix portion of the St. Croix River, how far north does that go?
Madam Chair, Mr. Senator McGinnis. Anderson, Lake St. Croix technically goes up to Stillwater, so it's sort of but the lower St. Croix, by federal definition, goes from Taylor's Falls down to Prescott.
It's clear to me today that we could talk about just any one of these projects all afternoon, and I know there are people waiting. One of my concerns is that what I keep hearing is that it doesn't make any sense for us to clean up one part unless we can ensure that it stays clean. And so some of the proposals that have come into us are planning to work on the water issue, the surface water issue, a watershed by watershed. And what watershed is yours that drains into this Stillwater Lake or the Lake St. Croix?
Lake St. Croix.
Or is it multiple watersheds?
Well, it's multiple watersheds. There's 23, Madam Chair, there are 23 sub-basins in the St. Croix, and the lower St. Croix, or what we call Lake St. Croix, is the bottom of that river, and so it collects everything from 23 sub-watersheds. Or 27, excuse me.
I do know that the PCA and the DNR are looking at approaching some of this issue, some of these funds, watershed district by watershed district. And I'm going to find out if this is one of their priority areas. It just kind of disturbs me that on the Minnesota side there's going to be a lot of monitoring, and on the Wisconsin side we're not too sure what's going to be happening. And to put all kinds of money in the Minnesota side, and so this has to be dealt with, you know, by both states in a much more aggressive manner, and I'm hoping that that will be coming forward. Senator Fredrickson.
Chair, I was impressed with the learning that this was going to be a cooperative effort with the state of Wisconsin and the National Park Service.
Yes.
And I think that should be recognized in this bill that we're considering. So mm-hmm. I would move on page 1, line 8. After agency, insert to cooperate with the state of Wisconsin and the National Park Service.
Is that amenable to you, Senator Stephen?
Yes, it is.
Senator Fredrickson, would you read your amendment again?
Madam Chair, on line 8, after agency, to insert to cooperate with the state of Wisconsin and the National Park Service.
Any discussion on the amendment? All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? The amendment prevails.
Madam Chair, I'd move the bill, laid on the table for possible inclusion in the final bill.
Thank you. Senator Fredrickson moves Senate File 1918 to be laid on the table for possible inclusion in the what are we calling this? The
water bill.
Clean Water Legacy Fund. Thank you, Senator Stephen.
And thank you, Madam Chair.
I'm sorry. I just thought we just did that. All those in any discussion on the motion? Those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails.
Madam Chair, Senator Stephen, some of us like to water ski, so we're wondering when the water skiing event is.
When it's going to be?
When you're going to host us for water skiing.
I will.
You'll arrange it?
After session, certainly. After the water warms up.
Thank you, Mr. McGinnis.
Thank you.
Oh, what do we have next? Senator Carlson. I thought Senator Murphy was here.
He was.
Yeah.
I don't see it.
Welcome, Senator Carlson. You have Senate File 1944.
1944, correct.
Long before you were born, right?
Not long.
Not long.
Madam Chair and members of the committee, I have Senate File 1944, which is relative to the Minnesota Zoo and clean water. We come to the committee to ask for $1.5 million to be appropriated from the constitutionally authorized Clean Water Fund for restoration and enhancement of the water bodies at the Minnesota Zoo. And before I continue, I would like to do a corrective verbal amendment, oral amendment, and that's on my on the bill 1944. We have one word that might need to be clarified, where it says on line 1.6, it says groundwater, and it should be corrected and insert surface water. It's
and
surface water.
Omit groundwater or both?
Replace groundwater with surface water.
Madam Chair, I'll move that amendment.
Senator Fredrickson moves the oral amendment replacing the word groundwater on line 1.6 with the word surface water.
Sorry.
Any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. Go ahead, Senator Carlson.
And Madam Chair and members of the committee, the zoo was originally proposed 40 years ago this year. In 1969, the legislature authorized the preparation of this book. And I have had this book since it was first published in, I believe, 1971. But what we're looking at now is a smaller zoo, but there are a lot of similarities between the original plan and today's plan. And that was originally intended to have the stormwater run directly into as many of the water bodies on the property. The photograph that we have of the zoo location here shows maybe two houses. That's not true today. Today is far more houses than that. The zoo occupies about 500 acres, and it includes the runoff from the parking lots, the animal enclosures, and the surface of the rest of the zoo. This is a clean water issue. Fortunately, this project will produce a permanent improvement in the water quality at the Minnesota Zoo. There are some lakes right near the main buildings that a lot of the hard surface water runs into. I also believe it's very important to remind everyone that the funding from the constitutional amendment was originally meant to provide support for Minnesota zoos, but more recently, some of that language was taken out of the bill just to streamline it and make it shorter. I'm asking for your support and to help today. Here I have Dr. Lee Emke, who is the director of the Minnesota Zoo.
Welcome, Dr. Emke.
Thank you. And just a correction, it's not Dr. Emke, it's Mr., but thank you for the promotion. I appreciate that. Madam Chair, members of the committee, Lee Emke, director of the Minnesota Zoo. The handout that I just passed out kind of illustrates our issue. We have, as Senator Carlson mentioned, almost a 500-acre site. There are many water bodies on the site, including 14 that are DNR registered water bodies or wetlands. And the majority of them are, it's a self-contained site. Most of the water stays on the zoo. So the drainage from the urban areas, such as the parking lots and pathways and the many buildings at the zoo, as well as runoff from the animal exhibits, stays largely within the ponds that are depicted in this map. And unfortunately, the nice blue color that we used in this plan is not the reality. We have in the summer, if you visited the zoo, issues with phosphorus and fecal coliform and the like that essentially has made all of these bodies of water impaired. And it's, again, a combination of urban sources and agricultural sources, given the nature of our zoo. And so our proposal is to remedy that. We think as an environmental organization with an environmental education mission, we need to practice what we preach, and certainly cleaning up our own yard, our own water systems is going to be important to that. We're proposing to do that in a wide variety of ways. Rain gardens, I've heard a little bit about that today, would certainly be part of it. Finding ways to have less more permeable surfaces rather than impermeable. Finding ways to separate waste streams on site. And then some UV disinfection, finding ways to retain water after heavy rainfalls rather than having it go directly into the water bodies. It's really a comprehensive approach that we need to be taking here. And this request will allow us to pursue that. And I guess the advantage of our zoo and the ability to have a project like this occur on our site is that we have 1.2 million visitors and growing every year visiting the zoo, that we can use this process as part of an educational opportunity to interpret best management practices for dealing with the water quality. And again, the fact that this is both demonstrating some of the urban problems and the agricultural problems is something we can interpret to our many guests through educational programs, graphics, and the like. Among our proposals would be to replace what's now a concrete walkway around if you look at the plan, the central lake, the heart of our zoo, which is where much of the water ends up. It's sort of a central repository. Right now, the edge of that lake is degraded and has a concrete walkway that we need to replace anyway. It's an asset preservation question. We're looking to develop a boardwalk there that would allow riparian vegetation to be reestablished, and it would be a fantastic opportunity to interpret the process of restoration and best practices in water management, and also to acknowledge this fund, this legacy fund, as the source of how that actually occurred. As we do this work, we're also looking to create partnerships. We have the School for Environmental Studies, which is located on zoo grounds, and those students would be active participants in monitoring and recording data to demonstrate the improvements in water quality. We'd also like to work with the MCC to provide some of the labor to do revegetation and cleanup along the way. And I guess the final point I'd like to add is that central lake that at the heart of our zoo is the source of nearly all of the trumpeter swans that now reside in the state of Minnesota and Wisconsin. A beautiful bird that was extirpated from the upper Midwest, but for 20 years our zoo has been breeding them in coordination with DNR and releasing them to the wild, and there's now a significant wild population that originated from this lake. So that would, again, be part of an interpretive program to talk about the water quality for wildlife as well as for human use. And, again, with our millions of visitors, it will be a fantastic opportunity to demonstrate Minnesota's commitment to clean water. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Emke. Are there questions for Mr. Emke or Senator Carlson? So as I understand, your project with this 1.5 million that you're seeking, you're going to use that specifically for replacing this sidewalk and turning it into a boardwalk.
Madam Chair, that would be an aspect of a larger project that we're looking at. I think our focus would be on the water quality itself. That would be our primary focus with the 1.5 million is to make sure that we are in fact improving the water quality in these water bodies. The interpretation, education, which would include the boardwalk, would be secondary elements, some of which would probably be paid for out of other sources.
So the primary, how are you improving the water?
The primary way would be to deal with the runoff that's now going into the ponds by, again, diverting it and holding it in holding receptacles, doing bioinfiltration, creating vegetative swales to capture the water, and again, with biological filtration, clean the water up before it ends up in the lakes. And then in some cases, it may require mechanical filtration systems to actually kind of do a hard engineering approach to clean the water before it goes into the water bodies.
And so do these dollars cover the entire zoo area or just part of it, the part that drains into that central lake? I think I got mixed up in the order of your presentation.
Sure. Because all these water bodies do end up, or almost all of them do drain into the central lake, it has become kind of the focal point of the problem. And at this point, we're not clear on what the $1.5 million would allow us to actually clean up every water body on site, or would we focus on the inflow going into the main lake. The initial monies would be used to analyze the current situation and come up with a detailed plan. This is a new initiative, so we don't have the information about whether we could actually clean up the entire site or whether it would be a focused effort at this point.
Are there other questions?
Madam Chair, I'd move the bill.
Senator Fredrickson, you got off light. Senator Fredrickson moves Senate File 1944 to be
as amended
to be laid on the table for possible inclusion in the Clean Water Bill. Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The motion prevails.
Thank you.
Thank you for coming, Mr. Emke, and thank you, Senator Carlson. Have a good weekend.
Thank you.
It's Senator Murphy. How are you, Senator Murphy?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm tired. It's been a long day. Senator Murphy is bringing us Senate File 1819. And let me just check it off my list. The floor is yours, or table.
Well, thank you, Madam Chairman. Madam Chairman, and this Senate file is simply a request from Mineola Township for some of the money that you spoke about earlier to do some clean water projects in the township. You know, our neck of the woods in southeastern Minnesota was kind of ravaged here a couple years ago with some flooding. Granted, Mineola Township is just to the west of Zumbrota, but, you know, it's a lot of good farmland, a lot of rolling hills, and some pretty, you know, it's like southeastern Minnesota. We have sinkholes. We have peaks and valleys, and Mineola Township fits that bill. But anyway, Madam Chair, members, there's some, and I will be getting each member here a project package from this project so that everybody knows exactly the details. But the money's going to be used to do some flood mitigation, you know, which are, you know, a couple of levee-like dams. And also to help, you know, our neighbors in that township do a better job of keeping the dirt on top of the hill. And basically that's a lot of farm practices, things like that. Now, You asked at the beginning of the meeting, well, how does this fit in? Well, all that water, all that rain that falls on Mineola ends up over in Lake Pepin. And when it rains too hard on top of the hill, we all know that all that dirt runs over to Lake Pepin.
Runs downhill.
Yep, goes down the creek. But Madam Chair and members, I'll make sure that we get some of those work packages to you so that everybody knows what this money would be spent for.
Madam Chair?
Senator Fredrickson.
Madam Chair, Senator Murphy, from the description of the activities you hope to accomplish, it seems to me that it would be more appropriate if this money would go to the Board of Water and Soil Resources rather than PFA.
Madam Chair and Senator Fredrickson, I tell you what, I'll get the work package, and I'll let you read through it, and whatever you think is appropriate, I'll go with that. I'd hate to make that commitment now without having that package in front of you. There may be something in there that would spark your interest.
I'm sure, fair enough.
Yeah. But this bill was brought to me a little late by my House author, and so we haven't had a lot of time to work on it. But I'll get that stuff to you, Madam Chair.
So, Senator Murphy, the dollar amount that you have here has somebody kind of calculated how that will be used, or more specifically, can you tell us a little bit about that?
Not from recall, Madam Chair.
I'm sorry.
But I'll get the work packages to you, and they've got a very detailed accounting of the money that is going to be used.
Madam Chair,
Senator Anderson. Senator Murphy, I just wanted to ask about the flood control portion of it. How do you break it down into flood control versus water quality? Because I don't think flood control per se is a is an eligible use under the constitutional funds?
Well, I'd kind of disagree, because if you would have seen that water that was raging down in our neck of the woods the last time, you would say that that had a lot of bad stuff in it.
So,
I mean, a lot of dirt and trees, whole trees, like 100-year-old oak trees, just whew. But I think that, you know, some, and then, you know, down in our district, we have a lot of old dams, you know, and you're just driving around, they're out in the middle of nowhere, and you wonder, well, why was that put in there? Well, it was put in there back during the last time we had a rough go of it. You know, they put this thing together called CCC or CCP or whatever it was, and that Public Works program, and they built those dikes all over the place. And they do benefit. Anybody that lives downstream of one of those will testify to their worthiness. You get a big, you get 12 inches of rain, or no, 17 inches of rain in 2 hours. You need them.
So, Madam Chair,
Senator Anderson,
Senator Murphy, you're saying that if we help the water quality, we'll also help the flooding. Is that what you're saying? Madam
yes.
Chair, we were. I've got probably a camping trip for every possible bill, and we were camping down at Frontenac State Park this past summer.
Ah, okay.
I think it was right around Father's Day. It was right after flood time, mm-hmm. whatever this year's flood is. I can't remember. But it was pretty high. The water was high, and my kids were swimming in the Mississippi down there, and there were trees floating by, and it was really littered with stuff. It was pretty amazing. I was a little scared to have, you know, I didn't let them go out very far. By the way, there was some snakes swimming in the river, too. That freaked me out. My kids didn't care, but what kind of snake swims in the river? The rattlers don't go in the Mississippi, as far as I know. They like rocks, not rivers.
No. They're probably relatives.
They seem pretty harmless, Madam
Chair. Oh,
that
was kind of funny. No, the water snakes are harmless. But there are rattlesnakes in that area.
Yeah.
There's a lot of rattlesnakes. As a matter of fact, that bluff that the park sits on, if you go all the way down to the end of it on the north end, there's quite a population of rattlesnakes there. We've taken rattlesnakes out of there that were 6 feet long. I used to live along that bluff back up the highway a little bit, and we killed one in our backyard one time, and it was a good thing he just got done eating a squirrel, because I could hold him up like this, and he didn't have a head on, and his tail was still on the ground. He was a big snake. He was about that big in the middle, too.
Well, Madam Chair, Senator Murphy, I'm glad you didn't tell me that before my camping trip.
Oh.
Might not
well, they really won't hurt you. You know, and most of the time when you hear rattling going on in the woods when you walk along, it's not a rattlesnake. It's a bull snake. They want to lay in the dry leaves and rattle their tail, and that's their self-defense mechanism. So a lot of times they're not rattlesnakes. But if you get bit by one, you better run like that.
I think we've gotten off track.
Okay, that's my biology 101 from southeastern Minnesota.
So, Senator Murphy, as I understand it, we're going to get some more information from you.
Yes, Madam Chair.
Okay. So until we have that information, does somebody want to move this bill temporarily? Senator Torres Ray moves Senate File 1819 for possible inclusion in the Clean Water Fund bill. Any further discussion? Those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion prevails.
Thank you, Madam
Let's
Chair.
Let's go swimming.
You guys have a good committee. We'll have to get you on transportation.
You should come to us when we have an early morning committee. We've been at this for 9 hours.
Oh, so you're a little punchy.
Okay, Senator Torres Ray. Senator Torres Ray has Senate File 1673.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, members. Senate File 1673 is a bill to provide funding for Hennepin County to work on a plan to protect our streams and downstream receiving waters. And, Madam Chair, the intent here is that we will support the county in an effort that they've been working on for a long period of time, and the testifiers will present to you kind of the effort that has been moving forward in Hennepin County, and they are here to ask us for funding and support for that plan. This bill will appropriate from the Clean Water Funds to Hennepin County to create a plan to provide stability to eroding stream banks, which are negatively impacting the water quality of streams and downstream receiving waters in Hennepin County. This funding, Madam Chair, Hennepin County has been talking a lot about, you know, how can we use this, what it may seem to you, a lot of money for a county the size of my county. This is really a little bit of money. So you will hear about some of the conversations that the county is entertaining to really use existing resources like the Minnesota Conservation Corps to really involve youth in this process of planting trees and shrubs and reducing the erosion. So with me, Madam Chair and members, I have Ms. Rosemary Levin from Hennepin County Environmental Services and County Commissioner Peter McLaughlin, who will be talking about the process and the ideas that came before the county board.
Which one of you wants to go first?
Commissioner, please.
Madam Chair.
Commissioner McLaughlin, welcome to the committee.
Thank you very much. I'm Peter McLaughlin. I'm a Hennepin County Commissioner and co-chair of our Intergovernmental Committee. I appreciate the chance to be here today. In Hennepin County, there are 160 miles of streams. They feed three major rivers, the Crow, the Mississippi, and the Minnesota. And this proposal is an attempt to combat the effects of urbanization, which are causing those stream beds to erode because of the increase in runoff volume and in the intensity of the runoff, the speed with which it runs off. We are trying to, we're doing this to fix the streams up and to improve the quality of the receiving rivers around, which surround Hennepin County. It's essentially a project to do regrading, revegetation, and riprapping. We would divide the tasks. We would, for the riprapping and the, if there's regrading and things of that sort, we would do use contractors to perform the work. But we would use the trusted youth programs with which we have a longstanding relationship, both the Tree Trust and the Minnesota Conservation Corps, to perform significant pieces of this work. We're working. This would be implementation of existing plans and planned elements that our water management organizations and watershed districts have ready to go, but they do not have sufficient funding to implement. And so in the tradition of the WPA, this would be making these physical improvements to preserve the environment within our community. We have cost-sharing arrangements with that we are working on with the WMOs and the watershed districts. We have projects that are ready to go. And so we think that this can make a significant contribution to improvement in the of water quality within the within Hennepin County, the most populous county within the state of Minnesota. We think that by our making the application, there are going to be some efficiencies here. We can aggregate the contracts with the Tree Trust and the Conservation Corps. We can look for ways to prioritize the projects among the 11 water management organizations that we have within Hennepin County. So we think this is a good approach, a cost-effective approach. And because of the cost-sharing arrangements that we'll be working on, you're going to get extra bang for the buck out of the legacy fund because we're going to have these other contributions. And again, these would be investments made to advance plans that are in place within these water management organizations. So, Madam Chair, that's the basic outline of our proposal. We think that it would be a very appropriate use of the legacy funds.
Commissioner, I can tell you've done this before.
Thank you.
Ms. Lavin?
Well, I'm happy to take questions. I think the Commissioner did a great job of summarizing what we're looking for here. So.
Are there questions from the committee? One of the questions that keeps coming to before us, we don't always ask it of every project, but have you got a way to measure or do you have some expectations of what the results will be from this $1.25 million?
Rosemary, why don't you do that?
Yeah, Madam Chair. In terms of outcomes, what we're looking to measure beyond just the number of projects that we're able to do and the number of streams impacted. We'd be looking at, for example, the amount of sediment that's removed from the streams, the phosphorus that's removed. We'd be looking at using models through Bowser or other state agencies to be able to quantify that type of material and be able to compare the results that we're getting here in Hennepin with streams statewide.
Will you be able, Ms. Lavin, to will you be able to somehow check or monitor or measure the quality of the water, I don't know, 1-2 years later to see if there is a change in the quality of the waters?
Well, Madam Chair, the responsibility for the streams would lie with the watersheds, and I think what we would do is work with the watersheds and with existing monitoring systems to do that sort of work. I don't think that we would necessarily take that on ourselves, but we would work with them to ensure that. And that would certainly be what we would be looking for, too, to look at what's the impact and are we seeing an effect. What we hope to do is to be able to continue this work, and so that would be something that we would want to be able to report to you on in a year or two, is there being an impact?
That would certainly be valuable. I see members of the Minnesota Environmental Partnership here, and we're all going to be listening for the ideas that or the proposals that will be able to demonstrate to the public that we have made a difference with these public dollars. So, you said you are working in collaboration with the Watershed District and the Water Management Organizations to. You've already identified the priorities, though. Is that correct?
Madam Chair, we have been in discussion with them. We have not finalized the list of projects, but these would be projects that are included in the plans of the either water management organizations or the watershed districts. And then there would be a prioritization among those, and we would look at impact on water quality and then, frankly, the ability to employ some young people as well. We think that's an important component of this. And then we would set those priorities out. I think it's fair to say that the bigger watershed districts have more capacity to put these proposals together. I think we provide some technical assistance and can help to facilitate actually receiving funds for some of the smaller water management organizations within our county. So I think it's a good way to deal with organizations that don't have quite as much capacity and some streams that are therefore not getting as much attention as they might deserve given the water quality problems that they have.
Are there any additional questions from members of the committee?
If not, Madam Chair, I would like to move Senate File 1673 for possible inclusion in the water bill.
Thank you, Senator Torres. Ray moves Senate File 1673 for to be laid on the table for possible inclusion in the Clean Water Legacy Fund. All those in favor say aye. Further discussion? Those in favor, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed? Motion prevails.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you both for coming, and thank you for waiting to the end.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Madam.
Thank you.
Yes, you are?
Yes.
We saved the best for the last, or the last for the best, whichever way it is on a Friday afternoon. Senator Anderson has two proposals before us. The first one will be 1784, is that what you like? Or 1773?
I would like to take up 1784.
84.
If I may, and it just so happens they bills basically do the same thing, but there were two different drafts, and the one that Senate Council did, 1784, I think works a little bit better for us, and the other one was drafted in the House, and we'll have to match them up eventually. But so I would just like to work off of 1784, if I may.
That's terrific. So we only really have to hear one.
We only have to hear one.
Folks, we're almost done.
I promise I won't do two bills. It's the same exact presentation anyway. Basically, the idea is to fund the LIDAR, finishing the LIDAR program for the state of Minnesota, or using LIDAR light detection and ranging technology to map the topographic high-resolution digital elevation data for the state of Minnesota. As you'll recall, we had a detailed presentation about this on March 4th, so we will not go into much detail today. I think Mr. Everett and others have done a really great job of explaining how it would work, and just want to remind committee members why this is important and relates to the issue of cleaning, restoring, protecting, enhancing our waters. And that's because we need this information to accurately predict water and sediment flows, to plan and install measures to clean up impaired waters. And I'll let Mr. Everett talk about that in a little bit more detail because he's the expert and I'm not. But we also have a map. Is that?
It's distributed.
We have the map. Okay, good. That shows you the areas that have already been done and those that have, some areas have done their own LIDAR. And so we're trying to come up with a plan in this bill that would, over a three-year period, just finish the job once and for all so we'd have that baseline data so we can move forward in a more thoughtful and prepared way to do our water planning and our water cleanup. So I'd like to ask Mr. Everett from the Water Resources
Center.
Dr. Everett, sorry. Water Resources Center at the University of Minnesota to comment briefly on the importance of this.
And welcome back, Dr. Everett.
Madam Chair, thank you. My name is Leslie Everett at the Water Resources Center at the University of Minnesota. As Senator Anderson was saying, we did give the presentation on March 4th, and you have in your packet the briefing paper that has at the beginning the uses, current situation, why now, some of the people who are supporting this, and organizations, and then at the end, some examples of cost savings that would be available, examples of cost savings already from using LIDAR in this state. We're talking about high-resolution digital elevation data, in other words, getting topographic data that's accurate within 6 inches by a laser scan of the Earth's surface. Used in modeling, used in siting of practices for cleaning up water, floodplain mapping, of course, is another use. Finding places to store water on the landscape so that so much of the sediment that's coming down the Minnesota River Basin from the Minnesota River Basin is from streambank bluff and ravine erosion, which is driven by flows, high flows. And we're looking for places to store water, and this can help us quickly do that. So there are many uses, and you've seen those in the presentation before. As mentioned before, on your map, the Red River Basin is being flown. Part of it has been flown, and that some of that data was used in the recent flood, is being used right now for even setting sandbags. And the southeast has been flown, and the data is being processed. Then you see those red counties around the metro area. Those are the counties that purchased their own data, and that's proprietary data. You have in your packet also a current estimate that I should mention. I have Tim Lush as the head of GIS for DNR, and David Claypool, who's the co-chair of the Digital Elevation Committee and the Ramsey County Surveyor, are here to back me up in the technical area. Tim prepared this detailed breakout of the costs, and that includes a breakout of if we could get the data from the 12 counties, or if we need to refly those. So the costs are broken out in both ways there. So that's a summary. If there's any questions?
I would like to follow up on the very point you just made. So we are not certain yet whether or not we will have access to the data that's proprietary.
Madam Chair, no. Some of that we know will be made available. Others we're not sure. We'd have to negotiate with them whether we could either they give it to us or we give them something, you know, a reduced fee just so it didn't cost us more than what it would to refly. Because we're going to get this with a large area acquisition, we will get it on a per area basis much cheaper than what they were able to acquire on a county-by-county basis. It's much more expensive that way.
And will this allocation that's being requested cover the entire state then?
Madam Chair, the allocation that's being requested would complete the state.
Are there additional questions?
Madam Chair,
Senator Fredrickson.
I just have one small question for Senator Anderson. The last line lays out a base for 2012. And that base is a little higher than either 2010 or 2011. And I was curious.
Well,
why.
Madam Chair, Senator Anderson, I'm not quite sure why it was drafted that way. There's no particular reason, I don't think, unless Mr. Knopf had some magic formula in mind, but I think the idea was to equally distribute it over a three-year period. And so
is
we could
typo,
do it,
Mr.
break it into percentages.
Go ahead, Mr. Knopf.
Well, Madam Chair, Senator Frederickson, I think it was just a matter of trying to remember what documents I was looking at. I was looking at what they were when they presented this to us at the hearing on March 3rd. I was trying to get at the total amount of money, and it seemed like this was a good way to do it, to the 2.8 in the first 2 years, and then the 2.9, an extra 100,000 in the third year, because depending on costs and that sort of thing might go up, and I just thought it was a good way to distribute it.
That's fine. I was just curious, because normally you see a base is the same as a preceding year of the biennium.
Uh-huh. You know, Madam Chair, that's a good question, and I think if we include, by saying it would be included in the department's fiscal year 2012 base, that does not mean that it would then reappear in the 2013 base, correct? Because that's not our intention.
Madam Chair, Senator Anderson, that's correct.
I just want to be clear. Very good. So it's for 3 years only.
For 3 years only. And Senator Anderson or Dr. Everett, you referred to cost savings. Can you just give me a quick summary of what those were again to refresh my memory?
Yes, Madam Chair. If you turn to the last part, there are several examples in your briefing paper. They include examples such as if you're doing on-the-ground surveys, just transit-type surveys, I've seen estimates anywhere from $3,000 to $5,000 a square mile. This process costs about $150 a square mile. You don't have to do transit surveys of a whole basin normally, but however, if you have the data, you can quickly scan large areas to look for things like old lake beds or depressional areas where you could offer the landowner some funds to do some water storage there. This is just an example. Other examples would be if you're trying to determine slopes. You can do that directly from this. Because this is digital data, the computer and models can directly determine those with great resolution, those slopes and water flows and those types of things. Trying to do it with, if you're trying to do, again, land transits, that type of thing. So there are some things that you just can't do without this data and others that you can substitute on-the-ground surveys.
And Dr. Everett, as I recall your first presentation, that once this data is in place, it should ease the compliance of developers and folks who would have to spend money to get surveys, because this data would help them plan for the way they direct the water on the land that they're using?
Madam Chair and Committee, yes. We have the counties, the individual counties, purchased the data for land use planning and those types of stormwater planning and those types of things. So, yes, certainly that's the case.
So, and I'm just fishing this out of the air because it's late in the day.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any basis for thinking that possibly the dollars we spend on this will be recouped in savings along the way within a very few years?
Madam Chair, that is very true. And the examples that I gave have dollar amounts that came from some of the engineering firms that are using the data at this time.
Madam Chair, it just won't be recouped to the legacy funds.
No, I understand.
It'll be recouped from many other sources,
right,
who use this data. And I think, if we do use these public dollars, it will have tremendous benefits for our water quality work, but it'll also have many other side benefits too. And that, so it's nice to be able to make that data available to everyone who wants to use it. But I was thinking about the statewide conservation plan, which talks a lot about keeping water on the land. We've been talking about this. How do we stop water from running off and bringing all kinds of gunk with it that we don't want in our water bodies? And so having this information will help us be able to make those decisions about how to achieve that in a way that doesn't bring a Red River Valley flood, but does it in a smart way.
Are there any additional questions for Senator Anderson or Dr. Everett? Senator Anderson, do you want to move your bill?
Yes, Madam Chair, I'll move that Senate File 1784 be laid on the table for possible inclusion in the Clean Water Funding Bill.
Senator Anderson moves Senate File 1784 be laid on the table for possible inclusion in the fund. Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. Thank you for coming again, Dr. Everett. The subcommittee on water is adjourned. Seeing that our business is done, and please have a good weekend.